We just talked about how small talk, how we can be better at small talk, but how can we be better listeners too, and why it's incredibly important to your marriage to be a better listener and become a better listener throughout your marriage. To help us figure that out, we have Joe and Cindy Farini with My Marriage Matters. Joe, Cindy, how can we be better listeners in our marriages?
Well, first of all, thanks for the segment that you did just before this. It answered a lot of my questions.
Oh, good.
About why people don't like to have conversation.
Yeah, it's true. We don't. We get like awkward and nervous, and we try to get out of the conversation as fast as possible.
Yes. And so I almost want to like continue with that rather than do what we have in place here. But that's okay. We'll blend it.
Sure. That's great.
Blend it in. But I think it was interesting what Ron was saying, that sometimes I think it's because we're just not interested and we don't care. And that has been my take when I've tried to make conversation with people. I pretty much can make conversation with anyone. So when it doesn't happen, I just think, well, they just really don't care. So I've opted in my life to do a 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out. And I will ask 3 questions, and they're not prying questions. They're just initiating a conversation. And if no one has much to say or they don't ask a question back, then I just leave them alone, because I really feel like, why am I doing this? Why am I making this hard of an effort for someone who doesn't care?
If I can add to that, Cindy's really good at that, I must say. If I'm part of the conversation, at least at distance, maybe a foot away, and she's talking to this person, I'm raising my fingers like 1, 2, or 3.
Like, don't keep trying. You've done enough.
Yeah. And at 3, I just walk away.
But I have to say, I think the sad part of that is that people don't care and they don't have interest. And but they'll be fine if they want to talk about themselves. I've had opportunities where I've been like at a table, which is really hard to get out of if you're like at a dinner table and there's 4 or 6 of you and you're trying to make conversation and one person only wants to talk about themselves. And after a while, you're just like, can you come up for air for a second so that somebody else at the table can have a minute? Because I guess the bottom line is, I don't think we give people their minute long enough. Or someone says something like, you know, oh, I went to Paris. And the next thing is somebody else is telling about their Paris trip and nobody cares about this person who just went to Paris, who just had a lifetime experience that they would like to share. So I guess my summation of what you said is, I think people should learn to care a little bit more about not just what they want to say and what they want to get out as far as information, but to listen to the other person and ask them a question. And maybe that other person will then ask you, have you ever been to Paris? You know, and you then have a conversation rather than a monologue.
Yeah, I've been in this overthinking pattern for maybe like 2 weeks now of, am I adding to the conversation by sharing my like experience with the same thing, or am I just taking over? And I think about that often, of where is the line of, oh, I'm sharing and I'm adding to create a common, you know, a common thing between us. Oh, I have that. Yeah. I've had that same type of experience. Or am I just taking over the conversation and making it about myself?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what, the next time I come in and do taping for Pause for Prayer, let's have conversation on this, because I will.
I don't want to be tested.
You know, introverts do think differently than an extrovert. And I think we both have a lot to learn from that.
Yeah.
But there is also something to be said. It's just staying with me that if a person doesn't care, then they're really not going to enter into the conversation. And I do think there's a danger in that, because most people then don't care about anybody but themselves. And that's called selfish. And that's where, if we can just bring it back here then to marriage, that's where it trips you up in marriage.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you carry that same kind of thinking into your marriage, you're not going to have conversation. Your conversation isn't going to lead to a greater commitment in your marriage, and you're going to have no intimacy. And I don't just mean physical intimacy. I mean just intimacy and conversation where you can actually have like the sharing of your dreams and your hopes, and not just like the calendar, you know, like not just like what are we doing today, tomorrow, the next day. And so to answer your question, you know, how do we how do we do this in our marriage? For me, when I would teach in our family life, when we spoke for family life, one of the things I would share when we would have just the women together is I would say, you have to stop, look, and listen. And I would bring in a stop sign. And I would say, just it mentally visualize stopping. Mm-hmm. And actually, like, looking at your spouse so that you are listening to understand, not just direct now what you want to say, which is what I see in a lot of conversations otherwise other than marriage. So, you know, this isn't a good thing, because then we're not watching. When we stop, look, and listen, we look for the best times to talk. We look for the best words to use in our conversation, maybe the best expressions on our face to use. And it's really finding a time that's best so that you're actually having conversation, not just the sharing of facts.
Yeah, not just listening while you're doing the dishes or writing something down, but actually listening to look at them, to understand, to create intimacy with them.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. I know for me, the biggest stumbling block to really having good conversations with Cindy has been the TV. Mm. And since I'm a channel surfer, I have just learned that when Cindy starts talking to me, I have to mute that TV or turn the TV off, look and, you know, stop and look and listen at to her. Mm-hmm. And so I have to turn towards her. And she knows by now that if I'm not looking at her, I'm probably not listening to her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, me too, brother.
And I'll tell you what, I appreciate that, because then I know that I have his attention.
Yeah.
And I also try, if we are watching something, whether it be the news or a movie or something, I'm also, or a sports especially, because I do love sports, so I know when and when not to interrupt. So I'm really careful. Try to be careful, or I'll say, can you talk now? So that it's not like I'm interrupting, because that's annoying too.
Yeah, I so appreciate that she takes the time to do that. I mean, that just shows a real courtesy and respect for what, you know, I'm interested in. And that she does that really and allows me to want to be more engaged with her as well.
And I think what we're saying here too is, for any couple, these are simple things. Anybody can do this. This isn't like you're gifted in speaking, you know?
Yep.
This is just, this is common courtesy. This is listening. This is a skill that you can learn. And sometimes we learn this skill because we've messed up along the way. And I know we've shared this numerous times when we've talked, but even if Joe and I are taking a walk, if he's walking a few steps ahead of me and talking, I really can't hear him. You know, I can't hear, whether it's the traffic or the wind or whatever, you just can't hear somebody walking ahead of you or facing another direction as well as when you're next to each other or face to face. So these are just like common things that maybe you don't know. So now you can learn them, and now you can take them the time to put them into your marriage. And then you have a skill that you're developing that eventually becomes a habit, which is really helpful.
Yeah. And it's good that you start practicing these things yourself. I mean, recently, Cindy, and she still is to this day, she has a double ear infection.
Oh, no.
No. I don't know if you ever had a double ear infection.
No.
But someone said they'd rather give birth than have a double ear
infection. Oh, no.
I don't know who that was, because I have different. This is not that bad.
Not quite the same.
Yeah. Well, I know it wasn't a guy. But the point here is that with this double ear infection, I have to stand in front of her and talk to her. And she has to literally almost like read my lips, because she cannot hear me.
I can't hear him.
And
can you use sign language?
Cindy, you shared how you follow along with sports, so you kind of know the times to ask questions and when to not. And I think that shows genuine care, that you care about the things that Joe cares about. So you want him to know, I'm going to wait until this play is over or this at-bat is over, so then I can talk to you when there's kind of a lull in the game. And I think that shows extreme care for your spouse, knowing, like, hey, I care about what you care about too, even if it's sports.
Exactly. But I care about that too, because I don't want him to interrupt if I'm seeing a good play either.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But I think, you know, and as we said, it's a stop, look, and listen. And if you stop, look, and listen, and it's not the right time, just ask, when is the right time that we can talk about
this or the calendar, whatever else that you, you know, want to talk about. Because I do think there's a politeness in that that hopefully we wouldn't do just with our spouse, but everybody else too. And then I had a friend share a post on Facebook, and I loved this. She made a comment to something, and she said, you know, people don't always have to have an answer for something. Sometimes they just want to be heard, hugged, or helped.
Yeah.
And so she has gotten into the habit of asking that, like, do you want to be heard, hugged, or helped? And I want to start initiating that because I think, you know, not everything has to be fixed. And so, you know, the question we could ask, you know, together as spouses here, like, when was the last time you offered to help? Or when was the last time that you hugged without thinking you're initiating something beyond that? When was the last time you actually stopped to listen and be heard? You know, there's a lot to be said in those three directives. So I love that.
Yeah, I think it kind of cuts through the awkward, what are you wanting here? Just get right to the point of, this is what I need right now. And we have to be willing to share what we need too.
Yes, yes, exactly. And then I think, you know, along with that, just listening more to understand rather than defending ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think if we're really careful in our conversation, we won't have to defend ourselves.
Do you think that is asking clarifying questions of your spouse and what they're really trying to say?
Oh, yes. Rephrasing, asking questions, kind of getting a lay of the land, because then that sets you up really for what you want to talk about. But we have to ask ourselves the question too, like, what's the breakdown here in this communication? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're sick, sometimes we're frustrated. Sometimes we just want to say, like, you know, you haven't cared to listen for a while, so why do I want to talk now, right?
Oh, now you want to listen.
Yeah, now you want to have conversation.
Yeah.
So take the time to understand it, and it's going to take time.
Yeah. What's the next one?
Joe, you want to take that one? Keep an open mind?
Yes, absolutely. You know, the main thing that I find in communications is that oftentimes it's the nonverbal communications that really kind of messes up my communication.
Mm.
And, you know, we have to be patient and be careful, especially when it comes to the tone of our voice. And often it's not the words, but the tone of our voice or our distracted eyes that really kind of say it all. I mean, I can remember several situations, but one particular situation, I was in a meeting/ministry time together, and there was a person at the head of the table, and literally this person, he looked at his watch every 2 minutes.
Oh, no.
when we were in discussion. And personally, I have to say, I cut that meeting short, and I just had to get up and leave. That's just plain rude and disrespectful to do something like that. And I certainly don't need someone like that in my life who is going to, you know, leave me, you know, thinking whether or not this is something of any value to this person having this conversation.
Or timing your conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How long do I have left?
Yeah. And then you're not thinking about really what you want to say. You're thinking about you've got to get through this really quickly. And that's not having a conversation.
Yeah. In a way, the way I looked at that and the way I look at it now is that that really was a kind of a form of criticism,
mm-hmm.
You know, being in that conversation. And I mean, who likes to be criticized, right?
Right.
But when this type of behavior is done with our spouse or our children, think about what that does to them. I mean, it causes discouragement. It causes sometimes anger as a result of that. And so we need to be mindful of, you know, the things we carry into a conversation, not just outside in the business world, but also inside in our homes, because it's the same things happen there. And, you know, I think for me personally, God's word really provides us with, a really good outline as to how to deal with people, whether it's in a conversation in business or a conversation with your child. And that's taken from, you know, Ephesians 6:4. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." And that, to me, just kind of screams out to me an outline as to the do's and the do nots of what you do in a conversation. And for a father, I need to be careful that I do not provoke my child to anger. And at the same time, bring them up in the discipline and the instructions of the Lord. And so we have to be thinking circumspectly, if you will, looking around at all that we're doing and being respectful of the individual that I'm talking to. And oftentimes, sadly, in our marriages, we don't do that very well. And we do need to be mindful of the importance of who this person is and just be present, if you will, in conversations.
Yeah. So, Cindy, as a quick recap, how can we be better listeners in our marriages for those who are just tuning in?
Well, I think we could summarize very quickly by just saying, you know, stop, look, and listen to each other and really take time to understand them. And even to Joe's point of someone looking at their watch and, you know, whether that person had somewhere to go where they were timing you in your conversation, the whole understanding of we need to learn to be patient and not interrupt. Mm-hmm. That's almost an interruption by, you know, looking at your watch and saying, like, you know, right, your time's up. So, you know, just think about how you would like to be treated in a conversation and then use that to converse with someone else. And hopefully that's a good start for people to really listen to each other and listen to each other well. And that would be a good marriage moment for you.
Yeah. Amen. Thanks, Joe and Cindy. Where can people find you if they wanted to get more from My Marriage Matters, more from you and Joe?
Yes, you can ask questions through our website and email us there, and that would either be cindyfarini.com or joefarini.com. Or if you'd like, we'd love for you to come to Facebook on My Marriage Matters, where we try every day, Monday through Friday, to give you just a little something to think about, laugh about, talk about, and you can find us there, My Marriage Matters.
Again, that's My Marriage Matters on Facebook. Thank you, Joe and Cindy. We'll catch you in a couple weeks.
Thank you so much.